Hello, everyone. I hope we're having a wonderful Sabbath. It must have been a very special time to be alive during the time Jesus Christ was on this earth as a human being, God in the flesh. You could see him, talk to him, hear him speak and teach and perform miracles. What a tremendous opportunity that must have been. Let's turn to John chapter 6. And verse 44. John 6 and verse 44, it says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God." Imagine, be all taught of God. What a thrill to be actually taught of God. "Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me." Now let's go over one page and see what happens. John chapter 6 and verse 65. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." And then notice what happened in verse 66. "From that time many of his disciples went back," or went away, "and walked no more with him." Think about that. Can you imagine? Here they are in his presence. They see him. They hear him. They can talk to him. They learn from him. They can walk with him. He's conducting meetings. He's performing miracles and signs and wonders and healings. He's God in the flesh. And yet, because of what he said here, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And now notice verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God." They knew who he was. They knew what they saw. They knew what they heard. And what was the bottom line here? You have the words of eternal life. Now, we don't have Jesus Christ here in human form, God in the flesh, so we can hear his words. But we do have his words. And these words are the words of eternal life, just the same as if he had spoken them within range of our hearing. We have the words of eternal life. And they're the same words he spoke and the same words that his disciples heard. We're his disciples, and he's speaking to us today through this Bible here. The words of eternal life have been preserved for us today right here in this book, this holy book. Do we understand that? Do we comprehend that? Can we see how important the Bible is? The words of eternal life. The same as if he spoke them to us personally, except they're written to us personally. Let's notice John 17 and verse 17. John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth." Isn't this amazing? This book called the Holy Bible is the bestseller of all time throughout all of history. And yet, it's the least understood of any book ever written. And I would say it's probably not read very often by very many people in a serious study of what it actually says. Your word is truth. And continuing in the Gospels, let's turn over here to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Look at what Jesus Christ said about this word of God. "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You know, we need to think about that. He said, listen, your life is not just a matter of eating food and drinking water. You also must live by the words of God, which are the words of eternal life. Just like you spread out a meal and sit down to eat it and enjoy it, you need to spread out, as it were, God's words and sit down and ingest them spiritually. Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, brethren, how are we going to live by God's words if we're not studying God's words on a regular basis? We're not going to be living by His words if we're not reading them and studying them on a regular basis. Daily study of these words is a mandatory Christian responsibility and practice, and it's actually an honor and a privilege. I've heard some so-called religious leaders teach that daily Bible study is not necessary. You should pray daily, they'll say, but it's not really necessary to study the Bible every day. Well, that's not what Mr. Armstrong taught, and that is not what the Bible actually says, as we're going to see. What about daily Bible study? Should we engage in this? Is it required? Is it mandatory? Is it a must? Let's turn over here to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. What a beautiful, wonderful example for all of us to study and to follow. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11. These were more noble or fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What was the result of that daily search of the scriptures? And what will be the result of our daily search of the scriptures? Verse 12 tells us, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Daily they searched the scriptures. Now let's ask ourselves a question. Once they came into the church and were baptized and received God's Spirit, did they quit daily searching the scriptures? That's not even logical. This was a practice they did, and it led them to understand the truth in a more profound way, and you can be sure that they continued to daily search the scriptures. And that's what God wants us to do, because these are the words of eternal life. We must never forget that. We can get familiar with the Bible. We can get to where we, you know, say, okay, well, yes, the Bible is there and it's holy and I like it and it's fine. Instead of being just excited and thrilled and filled with a love for God's Word and anticipating being able to study it every single day and learn from it and drink in of it and then live by it. Because after all, these are the words of eternal life. Let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Notice what Jesus Christ says here in John 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures, he says, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. That's where you have eternal life. These are the words of eternal life. You know, when you read about searching something, let's say you're searching for a house, or you're searching for food, or you're searching a certain topic in the Bible, that's not casual perusal of God's Word. That's not just skimming along, then closing the Bible and calling it Bible study. When you search, you focus on what you're doing. This is intense. You are really concentrating on going through God's Word carefully and absorbing it and drinking in of it and making it a part of your thinking and of your character. Here's a scripture that maybe some don't know that is in the Bible, or maybe they forgot it, or maybe they overlooked it. Let's turn over here to Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Isaiah 34 and verse 16. It says, seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. Seek you out of the book of the Lord and read, it says. When you seek something, you're on a quest. You're on a mission. You're on a hunt. You want to seek the treasures and the gold nuggets of truth in the book of the Lord. And so you're going to read it. And read it on a daily basis, and so am I. We must. In actual fact, I don't know of anything more important in a Christian's life if they want to grow and bear fruit and one day be in the kingdom of God than praying every day on their knees to God and studying every day out of God's word, sometimes studying on their knees, because these are the words of eternal life. It is as important a practice of every Christian in seeking the kingdom of God as any other practice I can think of. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18. Here's how important God showed it was. And here's what he says to the kings of his people, Israel. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Is that kind of hit and miss and skipping around and getting to it when you can and when you have nothing else to do and when it's convenient? Or is this a mandatory requirement for the kings of Israel to look into the law and look into the book and look into God's word all the days of his life? That's daily. And why? That he may learn to fear the Eternal his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, he stays humble, and that he turns not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So God said, listen, when a king is put in a position of rulership on his throne, this is a requirement that he must follow. He must study my word every day, all the days of his life. Well, the same principle applies to us today. We are training to be kings and priests, and we're in preparation for that honor and for that privilege and for that responsibility. So God expects us to study out of his word every single day. That way we can live according to every word of God, because we are learning it. We're familiar with it. We're filling our mind with it. And I want to keep repeating this until we get the point. Remember, these are the words of eternal life directly from God himself. What book is more important, or even as important, as the book that contains the words of eternal life? You know what that means, brethren? That means when we study the words of eternal life and we then follow the words of eternal life, that's going to lead us to being given eternal life. That's how important it is. If we neglect the words of eternal life, we're going to neglect following the words of eternal life, and we're going to be left out from being given the gift of eternal life. I want to take some time now to understand and to dwell on some of the great benefits of daily Bible study. The benefits of daily Bible study. I realize all of us can get very, very busy, and we can get caught up in this, that, and the other project, or we can find ourselves discouraged a bit or distracted, and we can think we have more to do than we can get done. Therefore, we leave the Bible closed day after day after day. That's a fatal mistake. We must not do that. We're missing out on the benefits of daily Bible study and of drinking in of the words of eternal life. Here's one of the benefits of daily Bible study. It purifies us and cleanses us. It's like a spiritual shower, as it were. Have you ever been dirty and grimy and sweaty and smelly, and you can just hardly wait to take a bath or take a shower? And you can go in there and get all cleaned up and put on clean clothes. It's so refreshing. It's so rejuvenating. It just renews us. Did you know that's what daily Bible study does? Day after day, we're bombarded by all kinds of junk in Satan's world. We're in mortal combat. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And all of the poisons and venom and detrimental things that he can muster and spread everywhere is what Satan does. And especially he aims them at God's people. And they come at us from different directions, on television and on radio and out in society in general, and things that we read perhaps. God protects us, and He looks after us. But what a wonderful thing every day to be renewed, to be cleansed, and to be reoriented and decontaminated, if you will, by studying God's holy word. Let's see what the Bible says about being purified by God's word. Turn with me to John chapter 15 and verse 3. John 15 and verse 3. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Now you are clean. See that? You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Isn't that something? Obviously, it's talking about being spiritually cleaned. And it's a fact. You will find that as you study God's word every day without fail, the pollution and the junk that we inadvertently and unintentionally pick up just by virtue of the fact that we are human beings with our five senses in an evil world, it's washed away. And we are cleaned by the word in our thinking, in our attitude, in our motives, and in our character. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Here's the analogy of Jesus Christ and the church and a husband and a wife in marriage. Look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. He talks about, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it in verse 25, and then he says in verse 26 of Ephesians 5 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See, that's how he cleanses the church. That's how he keeps us pure. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And how is he going to accomplish that and make sure his church is a glorious church without spot and wrinkle and blemish? Through the washing of water by the word. Now that comes in sermons, it comes in Bible studies, but it also primarily comes from personal daily Bible study of each individual in his church. He says to keep yourself unpolluted from this world. This is how to do it. Daily Bible study. You'll be amazed how it just turns everything around, upgrades everything in our thinking, and we're on the right track again. And we feel cleaned up. We feel cleansed. We feel refreshed. We feel inspired and uplifted and encouraged. That's one of the great benefits of daily Bible study. Let's turn over here to Romans chapter 8. Now, I know you do it, but we all can do it more, and some don't do it, and we've got to start. Romans chapter 8. And verse 4. Everything is better in a Christian's life if that individual is involved in daily Bible study. The sermons mean more. The Bible studies that are put together and given mean more. The things that count mean more. The things that are rotten are clearer, and we are motivated not to have anything to do with those evil matters. It centers us. Daily Bible study. It centers us and has a cleansing effect. And we can get moving the way we ought to get moving because we have shed ourselves of the baggage that starts to collect on us as we go through life. Notice here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, Romans 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They set their minds on the things of the flesh, physical things, the things of this world, the glitter, the glitz, the appetites for physical things that Satan stirs up and cultivates and uses to entice us and tightens his grip on the world. But we've been freed from that grip. Continuing in verse 5, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Brethren, you know how we can be more spiritually minded? By studying God's word. by having God's Spirit and letting it flow through us, cultivating the fruits of the Spirit, by having the attitude of service and love and caring for others, by serving and obeying God and walking with Him in prayer. But one of the most important parts of that equation of becoming spiritually minded is to fill our minds with God's holy words, with God's holy book, to just fill our minds with it. And once we are studying it, to give it thought and to meditate about it and talk about it and want to know more from this book containing the words of eternal life. So we become spiritually minded. We become more purified and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word as we study it daily. Here's another benefit of daily Bible study. It prepares us, it equips us for living God's way and one day being part of His government. Let's turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Here's what Paul wrote Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's pretty clear. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's obviously talking about Bible study. And he's obviously saying that it's something we must do if we're going to be equipped and prepared for living God's way of life and one day being in His kingdom as a king and priest. Rightly dividing the word of truth, studying it, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, doing this daily. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. Isaiah 28 and verse 10. This gives us an idea of how to effectively study the Bible. We can do it in many different ways. We can read part of an Old Testament book and then read part of a New Testament book. We can study a particular subject like joy, happiness, femininity, masculinity, marriage, child rearing, baptism, the resurrections. Or we can study a particular prophecy that we've wondered about. Or we can just simply read for inspiration and encouragement. There are just so many different ways that we can study our Bibles. So many different plans that are all interesting and all very, very strengthening to all of us. I think we've all experienced that. Well, let's make sure that we are intensifying that practice of daily Bible study. It's not just a good thing. It's actually vital. I don't want to overstate the case, but when you really get down to it, it's actually a life and death practice. When we do it, we're going to be given eternal life. When we don't do it, we're going to lose out on eternal life. It's that important. These are the words of eternal life. Notice it says here in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10, "For precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." So we have to range throughout the Bible, so to speak. Let's say you start out on an in-depth study of keeping the Sabbath holy, and you turn to one or two or three scriptures. That can be very interesting and helpful, but if you want to get into a really in-depth study of the subject, you're going to have to go through the Bible. You're going to have to go over to the Old Testament. You're going to have to go to the middle of the Bible, and then you're going to have to go to the Gospels, and then you're going to have to go to the back of the New Testament and put all the scriptures together on the subject of the Sabbath. And you're going to find out when the Sabbath starts and ends. You're going to find out when it was created. You're going to find out what's allowed on it and what's not allowed on it. You will find instructions on how to make it a delight and how to honor God with it. Here a little and there a little, and putting it all together, and it might be a study that lasts a week. But when you get done, you're going to learn tremendous information about one of the most important commandments, and that is remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that came about because you followed this admonition in Isaiah 28:10. For precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and thereby you are being prepared, and we are being prepared for living life more fully, more acceptably in God's sight, and one day having a position in His kingdom. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, I want to ask you to go back a ways. When you first started looking into the Bible and understanding what it says, can you remember how thrilling and exciting that was? Can you remember how you could barely put it down? Can you remember how you would just turn pages and go here and go there and go the other place, and maybe you would hear a sermon where a question was cleared up or an understanding of a doctrine was greatly expanded? And maybe a Bible study was given that just opened up a subject that you had never understood before. And you could hardly wait to hear more of that. And you could hardly wait to get to church to hear it. And hardly wait to get home and open your Bible and drink in of it. Oh, I remember vividly all of that. I remember the most important thing that was always there in the early years of the church, in the early years of the feast, and that was the messages. The most important thing, to come before God and to sit down and have one of his ministers stand up and teach us out of his word, and we couldn't get enough of it. And we weren't watching the clock, and we weren't concerned about when is he going to finish up, and we weren't letting our minds wander to what we were going to do after church was over or anything like that. We just wanted more understanding about the purpose in life, more understanding about the plan of salvation. We wanted more understanding about prophecy and about family. And we wanted the minister to continue to preach and teach and talk and show us from God's word more and more about the subject. And I want to take notes, and I want to follow through, and I want to look at it, and I want to drink in of it, and tell me more, and give me more. And when I get home, I'm going to follow up on it and study it more and more. Brethren, we've got to recapture that. We've got to get back on track with that same attitude of excitement and of being enthralled and thrilled by the messages, and enthralled and thrilled by our personal Bible study, to where when it comes time for us to do our Bible study, we approach it with eagerness. And we can hardly wait to sit down and open God's Word and start to study it with love and with interest and with eagerness and with a hunger and a thirst for the truth. We have to get back to that, and we are getting back to it. When we were at Ambassador College from 61 to 65, the Bible reigned supreme, if I can put it that way. There were Bibles open and on desk, and young men and women were there studying right out of it. When we sat down to meals, we talk about a lot of things, but mainly it was about something we learned from Bible study or from Bible class or from the Sabbath services. And you'd walk along discussing that. And in the evenings, when it came time to turn out the lights and go to bed, you'd usually sit down and each person sitting in the room would open their Bible and we'd have a discussion from the scriptures before we told everybody good night and went to sleep. You know, we can get back to that. We're not going to get weird and odd and overdo it. There has to be balance. But Bible study cannot be casual. It cannot be a matter of convenience. It cannot be when I can get to it. It has to be there on a daily basis. It's primary. It's premium. It's at the top of the list. We're going to do it just like we're going to eat breakfast or dinner or lunch or supper. We're going to make sure that we have our daily Bible study. And not just get it in, but drink it in. That's what it says here in Proverbs chapter 2. Notice verse 1, Proverbs 2 and verse 1. My son or my daughter, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, or treasure them, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge, if you cry after it, if you ask for it, if you want it, if you can hardly wait to have it, if you can't get enough of it, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and you search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Eternal and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We have to want it. We have to seek it. We have to thirst and hunger for it. We have to ask for it and look for it and yearn for it and then study it and mine the Bible like you'd mine a gold mine. And then you know what happens? We begin to have greater understanding. We begin to digest the meat, and it begins to really become a part of our character and of our thinking and of our mind. And we are growing in preparation then for becoming greater servants of God and greater Christians that serve other people. So a great benefit of daily Bible study is that it equips us with understanding from Almighty God, and it cleanses us. A third great benefit of daily Bible study, which won't happen if we don't study the Bible every day. See, these benefits we're talking about are not going to be there if we don't study the Bible every day. They're only going to be there in our lives if we study the Bible every day. A third great benefit is that it builds our faith. It strengthens our faith. You know, not only is faith a gift, and not only can we have faith if we ask for it, we can increase our faith. We can build our faith and strengthen our faith by daily Bible study. You can be a little bit wobbly and a little bit shaky. You can find doubts beginning to creep in and worry start to take over your life. You can reverse that by setting your mind and deciding that you're going to do your daily Bible study without fail. And if you will start doing that, I'm telling you right now, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find the doubts start to melt away. You're going to find the worry begins to be washed clean. And you're going to see that you start living by faith more and more. That's what studying God's Word will do for every one of us. You know that. You found that out. Let's don't forget it. Every day, you open God's Word, and I open God's Word, and we carefully enter into a deep study of the words of eternal life, our faith is going to get stronger. We're going to have more confidence in the great God, and we're going to have more assurance that Jesus Christ is going to take care of everything. It's just going to happen. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 with that in mind. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says here in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See the connection? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's an unbroken chain, welded together. Faith increases as we hear the truth of God, and we hear the truth of God from the word of God. And therefore, faith grows. Sometimes when you find yourself down a bit or uptight and you get to a quiet place and you take your Bible and you open up and you just start reading Psalms chapter 1 and just carefully keep reading it. And then you'll get to chapter 2 and then chapter 3 and then chapter 4 and then chapter 5. And you push out all other thoughts and any distractions. And you ask God to guide your Bible study, and you sit there or you kneel there and you just start drinking in of God's Word right out of the book of Psalms, you're going to find that you are strengthened, that you are helped, that things start settling down. You're greatly encouraged. You're able to cut through all of the extraneous, useless stuff that's been weighing you down and concentrate on the things that really count. You're going to begin to realize, you know what? I know God exists. No doubt. I know the Bible's inspired. I've proven it. I know that I'm in God's church and I'm a part of His work and I'm in His hands and He wants me in His kingdom, and therefore He's going to help me on that road toward eternal life. So no matter what comes, no matter what trial hits, no matter what obstacle is thrown in our way, it could be health, it could be finances, it could be tragedy, it could even be death. Nothing can stop what God is doing in His church, in the lives of His people, and in His work. It's going to go on. And one day, the work is going to be finished, and the church is going to be glorious, and we're going to be resurrected into the family of God and into the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. And so now, I've refocused. I've reoriented. I've set my priorities straight again, and I've got my thinking lined up with God's thinking. Now the worry, the fretting, the doubt, the discouragement starts to melt away, and it's replaced by joy, by happiness, by faith, by confidence, and by the realization, yet once again, that we are going to be in the kingdom and family of God with God's help if we just keep on going no matter what's going on and no matter what we're faced with. That's one of the great benefits of daily Bible study. That's what it means here when it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's turn now over here to Jude. Jude and verse 20. Jude chapter 1, it only has one chapter, and verse 20. He says, under inspiration of God, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Did you see that? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer builds up our faith, but Bible study does too, as we've already seen. This relationship on a daily basis that we cultivate with Almighty God, walking with Him, talking to Him, and Him talking to us, praying to Him and studying from His words, it strengthens us and it builds up our faith. Verse 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And how can we look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we know from reading out of His word that His mercy never fails, right? We know that we can turn to a chapter in the book of Psalms where it says His mercy never fails. And then the next verse, His mercy never fails. And then the next verse, His mercy never fails. See how that builds us up. See how that strengthens our faith. See how daily Bible study and daily prayer are a combination that cannot be matched in terms of a flourishing Christian's life and one day in terms of being given the gift of eternal life. Let's turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. If it's not already this way, we can all get to where one of the most wonderful, delicious, thrilling parts of our day is our Bible study. It's one of the things we start to anticipate, that we look forward to, that we can hardly wait until that time rolls around and we can do that. All of us, if it's not already that way, we can all get to where we're that way. I know, I've experienced that. And you have too, probably, and I still experience it. As far as I'm concerned in my life, when it comes time to do my daily Bible study, it's quite an event. It's a very deeply anticipated window of time in my day. And I think probably it is with you. If not, it should be, and it will be. If you determine and you decide from this day forward, I'm going to get my Bible study done. I'm going to get involved in drinking in of God's Word. I'm going to do daily Bible study every day. Notice here what Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them," verse 15, "and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." From a child. This matter of personal Bible study should start early and never stop. Start early and never stop studying God's Word on a daily basis. We need to teach our children to do that. Do it with them. Help them. And the Bible will start to make sense. And they'll want to study it more and talk about it more and make it a part of their lives. And they don't want to miss out on it. Verse 15, "that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." What other book have you ever seen or heard of that will make you wise unto salvation? Only the Bible, or only booklets and articles written by God's servants based on the Bible. "Through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Notice verse 16. Look at this. Isn't this tremendous? "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." God inspired it. Think about it. This book is inspired of God. He inspired it. He preserved it. He canonized it, or saw to it that it was canonized. And here we have it today. He guided the whole thing. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works," including living by faith. That's how important it is. The Holy Scriptures, all of them inspired. And as we study them regularly and every day and start early in life and continue all the way through life, our faith is going to be greatly strengthened, and we're going to live more and more by faith and less by sight. Now I want to take some time to study some suggestions that will make our Bible study more effective and more interesting. Here are some suggestions. It's a short list. We could make a long list, but we'll keep adding to the list as we talk about the subject. Here are some suggestions that will enhance and that will help you have more effective, interesting daily studies from God's Word. Number one, set aside a private, quiet place. See, this is an important thing we're talking about, studying the Bible. We don't want to study it with a bunch of noise going on around us. We don't want to study it as we're sitting in front of the television or having the radio going in the background, or a bunch of racket out in the yard, or interruptions or distractions or noise. Choose a time of the day where we can sit down in a quiet, pleasant, comfortable place and open God's Word and just drink in of the words of eternal life. Now, all of us can find a time and place somewhere in our homes to do that. A lot of times, it's early in the morning before anybody else gets up, but it might be after everybody has gone to school or to work, and then we can do it. Or it might be at night after everyone's gone to bed. But somewhere in the day and someplace in your home, find a quiet, private place to do your daily Bible study. You'll find it helps immensely. Suggestion 2, don't rush your Bible study. Don't say, well, I've got to get it in because I've got other things going on and I've got to get done with this so I can go do other things. A lot of people treat their prayer and Bible study like they treat exercise. I've got to get my push-ups in. I've got to get my setups in, my laps in, my cardio whatever in. And now that's all in. Now I'm done with that for the whole day. I've got to get my prayer done. I've got to get my Bible study done. Now I'm done with that for the whole day until I have to do it again tomorrow. That's not the approach that God wants us to have. He wants us to get on our knees and pray to Him and not rush. And He wants us to open His Word and study out of the words of eternal life, which is His book, His Bible, without rushing. Enjoy it. Drink in of it. Digest it and ingest it. Take your time without interruption and without distraction. Don't let things override this precious and special period of time that you have. And don't just skim the Bible. Really study it and take note of it and think about it and then make it a part of your character. Third suggestion, pay attention as you're studying. Don't bog down. Don't just go along here and finally, boy, this is tough slogging. I don't know what it means. I'm bored. Okay, I got 10 minutes to go. Oh, boy. We're not going to get anything out of our Bible study if that's the approach. We need to pay attention to what we're reading and keep it moving. And if you come to a question that you don't know the answer to, jot it down and keep moving. And don't start letting yourself get involved in picky, petty things that mean nothing. Get the big picture. Drink in the substantial meat. Focus on the things that really count. And concentrate so that we don't miss some of God's precious truth and that we don't end up bogging down because we're just kind of trying to get through the verses. Rather, we're studying carefully what the verses are saying. Fourth point, and I want to pass this point along to you as a key to studying the Bible effectively in terms of remembering what you've studied. And that's this. When you start your Bible study, review what you've covered the day before. Go back and review what you've covered the day before. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time. It can be a quick review. But if you will take time to quickly review those chapters or those verses that you spent time on yesterday, and then go forward in studying what you have planned for today, you will see that God's Word takes root in your thinking and root in your life. And not only are you studying and taking in of God's truth, but now you are ingraining it. It's becoming indelibly stamped in your character. You are remembering it because you are reviewing it and then going forward in today's Bible study. And the last point we have time for, and this is very, very important, pray about your Bible study. You know, I ask God to help me to pray sometimes, and I certainly ask Him to help me and guide me in my Bible study. Pray about it. Ask God to guide you and open your mind to deeper understanding of His Word. Not some new thing that is heresy, but a deeper understanding of the truth and of the doctrines and of the practices and of the traditions found in God's Word and established through His apostle, Mr. Herbert Armstrong. And if you are praying and asking God to help you do that and to bless your Bible study, He's going to hear that prayer. And you're going to see that it makes a tremendous difference in your daily Bible study. All of this does no good at all if we don't put what we've learned into practice in our everyday lives. That's why we're studying. We're studying God's Word so we then can put it into practice and be prepared to use it in our lives and in our present responsibilities in His church and our future responsibilities in His kingdom. Just knowing something is of no importance or value. Mr. Armstrong used to say, knowledge is of no value unless it is applied. We have to put into practice what we've learned. And that's what God's Word says as well. Let's turn over here to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Let's notice what it says here. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. God holds us responsible for what we know. He's given us this knowledge. Now He expects us to use it. To use it in a practical way. To put it into practice. And so, in order for our Bible study to really be effective and to be blessed and richly rewarding in our lives, we have to then use what we've learned and ask God to guide us and help us to use what we've learned. Wives, put into practice what they read about being wives and mothers. Husbands, put into practice what they read about being husbands and fathers. Workers, put into practice what they've learned about being good workers. Leaders, put into practice what they've learned about caring for those that they lead. All aspects of life and facets of living are found in this book, either directly or indirectly. And so as we study it and ingrain it and internalize it, we see that we now begin to put it into practice in our daily lives. And that's called growing in grace and knowledge. That's called bearing fruit. That's called living our lives in a way that's pleasing to God, which He then will bless. And the more we study and then put into practice what we study, the more understanding we will have. It now becomes clearer because not only do we have academic knowledge, we have practical knowledge. Not only do we know this, we put it into practice. So now we understand, and our understanding gets deeper and deeper because we're using what we're learning. That's a very, very important aspect of Bible study. All of this should be really exciting. Maybe we have a health problem and we'd like to know the solution to it. And we ask God to show us and we start studying it and we start looking into the Bible and we start understanding about the health laws more and more. And we make some changes and first thing you know, we start feeling better. We see things happening in the world and we wonder, what does this mean? How is this going to turn out? Now what's coming next? And we start looking into God's Word and we see we don't have to worry. There's some bad things coming, but we don't have to worry. As long as we stay close to God and do what He says. He tells us that. Jesus Christ Himself said, you're going to have trouble in the world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. This is exciting information, and it should be. This information, these words that we find in this book, when we put them into practice, they work. We get answers and practical, useful, vital principles of living that will produce tangible results are right there to be found right before our eyes because God has opened our mind and we can see it and understand it. And that ought to be thrilling. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 1. I just want us all to remember this and understand it. And if we haven't understood it before, I hope we'll understand it now. You can be out of sorts And you can be ticked off and irritated. And you can be kind of at loose ends and wonder, what's going on? What am I missing? Why is this happening? And because God has called you and me and opened our minds, and we're His special treasure, and He has given us His Holy Spirit, because of those things, and we're in His hands, if you will get to a quiet place and you will take God's word and you'll push everything else out and off the page, so to speak, and sit down and start drinking in of the words of life found in this book, you're going to find that things start to settle down and start to come together and start to coalesce and get back to where they ought to be in your life, in your thinking, in your attitude, in your outlook, and in your actions. That's how important the Bible is. That's what God says happens when we drink in of His word. Let's notice here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. As I've often said, not a dead offering, a living sacrifice. We have to be careful about our lives and be careful about our decisions and think safety and think common sense. And then dedicate our energy and our drive and our talent and our ability to serving God and serving others, not to the fulfillment of fleshly appetites and desires and making provisions for the flesh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. We don't want to be like they are. We don't want to do things the way they do it. We don't want to look like them, sound like them, think like them. I'm not saying that they're all bad and all wrong and any of that. What I'm saying is we have been called out of this world into His church, and that's what ought to start showing up in our lives. And we ought to let our light shine from that position of being in His church and led by His Holy Spirit. And that's different to the position that people are in this world, blinded and cut off from God. And be not conformed to this world, verse 2, Romans 12, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I ask you, how are we going to do that unless we are studying the Bible on a daily basis? How are we going to know the will of God? How are we going to prove what is good and acceptable? How are we going to have our minds renewed? Our minds are renewed because we have had our minds open, we have repented, been baptized, and we receive God's Spirit, and we obey God, and we pray to God, and we follow Jesus Christ. But also, we study His Word daily. And it renews us, it refreshes us, it restores us. And we prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, and we understand more and more what the will of God is. So we are transformed. That's what happens, and that's how important it is to include in our Christian living daily Bible study. It enables us to comprehend the will of God. Well, I want to conclude with a tremendously important passage over here in Psalms chapter 119. This is such a tremendous chapter in the Bible, Psalms 119. You know, you could study this chapter right here, Psalms 119, for days and days. It's an absolute vein of gold that gets thicker and deeper and richer as you study it. Look at what David said here in Psalms 119, beginning in verse 103. See, he wasn't shy about expressing what he thought. He says here in Psalms 119, verse 103, how sweet are your words unto my taste. Is that how you feel about God's word? Is that how we think when we study the Bible? How sweet are your words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He loved the Word of God. You know what, brethren? If we're drinking into the Word of God, bitterness is going to be washed away. You cannot be bitter at somebody and seek vengeance and carry a grudge and be drinking in of God's Word sincerely on a daily basis. It will wash all of that away because God's Word is sweeter than honey. It's more delicious in a spiritual sense. That's what David says. Verse 104, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way because I can clearly see what's false and I hate it, and I can clearly see what's right and I love it. And it's sweet and it's delicious. And now, verse 105, Psalms 119. Your word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. You know, we live in a dark and deceived world. It's decaying, it's rotting, it's falling apart. It's like being in a big hall and all the lights are turned out and we're surrounded by pitch black darkness. And we try to feel our way around to keep from running into the wall or bumping a chair or stumbling and falling down. That's the way people in the world are doing. They're in spiritual darkness. They don't know the purpose in life. They don't know what's going to happen in the future. They don't know the answer to the problems that they're facing. And they don't know the solutions to the mountainous trouble that they face every day. And we were out there, and we would still be out there, but for the mercy of God and the calling that He's given us. But we do know the answer to all of that. And we're not in darkness. And we don't stumble and bump up against the wall and trip and fall and walk around with apprehension and terror about what's ahead and what's going on and how's it all going to turn out. And why is that? Because of what we read right here in verse 105 of Psalms 119. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's just like when you're in a hall that's completely blanketed in pitch black darkness, you reach in and pull out a tremendous lantern and turn it on. And now all of a sudden, you can see where you are, where you've been, and where you need to go. You know where the door is. You know where the chairs are. You know where the wall is. You know where the cord that you might stumble on is. And so therefore, you can just make your way right down through all of that and follow the path right out the door and into the wide open fresh air. That's the way the Bible is. When we get up in the morning and we start our day, we're not left to fend our way through a minefield and through a chasm of darkness. God doesn't do that to us. When we get up in the morning and start our day, we reach over and we get this lamp and we turn it on, called the Bible. It's like a lamp to our feet. And it goes on to say, and a light unto my path. It's like having a spotlight and we can see clearly where the path is. We know exactly where we need to go to get to our destination now. Even though we're surrounded by the world and people in the world, we're not victimized by it because we have God's word that clarifies all of the issues and the questions and the decisions and the choices that we must make. And then we can see clearly to make the right choices and the right decisions that lead us down the right path right on into the kingdom of God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. We must turn that light on every day so we can get back on track and so we can stay on track. Daily Bible study is just that important. These are the words of eternal life, and we must follow what we read and put it into practice. If we do that, we're going to go right down the path that God has out there in front of us, and we're going to go straight into the kingdom of God and be given the gift of eternal life.